Jill Anderson is a botanist and plant ecologist. She joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in our woods and waters right now. Welcome, Jill.
Hi.
All right, you want to talk to us now about bark life.
This is a time of year when a lot of the life that is exclusively using bark as its substrate, I think, really jumps out at us more because we can see the bark a lot easier from a distance. And maybe we're looking for finer details to pay attention to because there's less color and so on going on overall. It seemed like this might be a good time to just cover a little bit about what's going on in the bark of trees, because trees and shrubs are by far the biggest accommodator of other living things just because of how many there are and how big they get. But trees, whether the trunks or the branches, often are the homes for other living things that aren't moving around. So obviously, tree bark is important for birds, we've talked about, and insects and various kinds. But I'm thinking now more of stationary life that isn't traveling around from tree to tree. Into that category would fall algae, lichens, and mosses. And then a subgroup of mosses that I'll refer to as leafy liverworts. Mostly I'm throwing that in because they are a really cool realm of the bryophyte community that is challenging to identify to species, but they're really interesting. They lead different kinds of lives than other mosses do. But some of them are part of the mosses as a general group that live on trees. So all of these organisms are making choices about which tree to be on based on a variety of things. Some are sensitive to the chemistry of the bark. So as it turns out, some trees like aspen have less acidic bark than, say, pine. So some organisms may be particularly sensitive to that, and they're only going to show up on trees with more or less acidic bark. Organisms are also frequently going to be responding to the conditions, the prevailing conditions during the growing season in particular, of the environment that the tree is in. Most everything depends to one degree or another on light and water. They're going to be sensitive to, well, is this in a humid environment most of the time during the growing season? Is it in a really light, rich environment, or is it in a really shady environment? And in some cases, if you're kind of in the middle there, maybe you like more light than others, but you also need it pretty moist. So then your choices are going to be fewer than something that is happy in a really bright, dry place. That's how things sort themselves out through the forest and other habitats where these things would be growing on woody plants. So it's not just haphazard. There's definitely adaptations that different species have to different things. They're also going to be sensitive to the texture of the bark. So you can imagine that you might need different ways of gripping the bark if you're trying to grow on a smooth surface than if you're growing on a real gnarly surface. So that may be species related, but for a lot of our trees, it's going to be age related or part of the tree, because our bark on most trees tends to get more irregular with more texture, more crevices, more cracks as the trees get older. And so the lower part of the tree may provide great substrate because it's craggy and lots of crevices and cracks, whereas the upper part of the tree, not so much, even if it's still within the shady canopy, if you rely on that kind of substrate. So if you encounter something like this in the woods, it's always interesting, I think, to look at, okay, well, I see it's down here, maybe right at the base of the tree even, but even just a meter up or a few feet up, no sign of it. Or it goes up quite a ways, but if I look up with my binoculars, still well within the canopy, same environment, doesn't really appear to be more exposed to the wind or to light or whatever. No sign of it. Well, that could well be because the texture of the bark has changed. That's often the reason, or the apparent reason anyway. I think most of us are familiar with lichens. They have a lot of different forms. The types of lichens that you'll find are often going to be different depending upon the species, the texture that's there and available of the bark for them to get a hold of. Lichens are more tolerant than algae and mosses in general to places with scarce resources. more lichens adapted to places that are going to be dry, so drier bark. So they might be higher up on the tree, or they might be on a sunnier aspect than mosses or algae typically would be. So, and they're going to be grays and greens, sometimes to brown. I don't find too many lichens on trees that are dark, really dark. Those might occur on rocks, but vertical kind of alignment, but not typically on trees. Maybe okay. I don't know why, but usually it's grays and greens blending in. Sometimes they'll have edging of black or something, you know, but not solid dark colors. And they also tend to be pretty tight to the bark. If it's a smooth bark in particular, you're not going to find a lichen on it that's really three-dimensional, too precarious, probably too easy to be brushed off, knocked off by the wind or by snow being blown. Once you get up into the tree branches, balsam, for instance, so a conifer, there's a lot of protection, right? Because you not only have the branches that are kind of dense, but they have needles on them. Right. So they provide more protection. So that's where you're more likely to start to find the more three-dimensional lichens, like the old man's beard that lots of people are familiar with. And some of these lichens are going to appear or just become more abundant and more obvious to us as trees lose their needles, branches lose their needles. So places where, for instance, spruce budworm is causing a lot of mortality now or has in the past, oh my gosh, people see that or the trees begin to die back, balsams in particular, because of the defoliation by the budworm. And they say, oh, what's all that growing in there? Oh, are they hurting the tree? No. And in many cases, they may have been there to some degree before. Often that's the case if the tree is very old. It has been around for very long. It has some lichens in there. You just haven't noticed them because the green needles are kind of taking up your vision. They draw your attention. But once those needles die, then these things jump out at us. And then that light increases. So the lichens, they don't grow very fast, but that can also spur some increased growth in the lichens because they're getting more light and nutrients from rain coming down or whatever. So as long as they're not being abused by the wind, and they'll stick around and they do no damage whatsoever to the tree when it was living. They can provide more of a reason for the tree top to break off or something, because they, once the needles are gone, they're going to be the greatest amount of resistance, right? So and if the tree is dead then and begins to get weak, well, then that might be. Having more lichens is maybe adds the likelihood that that part will bust off in the wind. Algae typically comes as a powdery substance on the bark of a tree. It can be green, like one might expect, green, greenish brown, but there's also an orange one, orangey red. That really jumps out at this time of year when basically it's all white around except for the tree.
Patches of red.
Yeah, and then with these patches of red. And it's not like a stoplight, you know, that kind of concentration, but it's clearly not anything of the bark itself. It's something on the bark. At a distance, people might think, oh, did someone paint that? And it's kind of paint that's fading or whatever. But no, if you get up close, you'll see that it's something on there that's living on the bark. And again, this isn't doing any harm to the tree, and it isn't an indication of some decline or anything. It's just a convenient and serves the algae, the purpose of a place to live. Similar for mosses and leafy liverworts, which are great occupiers of pretty much any kind of substrate. Various species use maybe exclusively bark. There are some of those. Others may be on bark and other things as well, even on the ground. There are a variety of species that rely on tree bark, and this is a great time to find them, see them, look at them closely, because, again, they don't get brown and dry up like a lot of other things do in the wintertime. They're always right out there, ready to, as soon as it's just warm enough, to make use of the sun. So if you see something, it might be in a patch shape, which could be quite large. It might be very flat to the bark, hard to pick out the individual parts if you look close even. If you carry a magnifying hand lens around with you, oh, you can look in and you can, even on these small ones, the tiny little leaves that they have, sometimes the long stems will go right up parallel in these fine cracks within the surface of the bark. Others will stand out much more. They'll actually be almost three-dimensional. There's one that I'm sure many people, if they've spent much time in the woods, would have seen, because each stem of the moss comes out like almost like a little comma from the side of the tree, and it's in this big mat. So you have all these little eyelashes almost coming out in a mat. They're brilliant green, beautiful moss to see at any time of year. But moss is, again, like many of the algae, are going to be in places that are generally moist, humid environments in the summertime, not so much in dry, really exposed, sunny places. And a lot of these things will be on trees that aren't out and exposed to the most direct path of the winter wind and blowing snow and that kind of thing. So typically, mosses and algae in particular are going to be within the woods. They're not going to generally be right at the edge. They may end up at the edge for lots of reasons, and they might be able to manage, but they're more common as you're into the forest of whatever kind, whether it's a wetland or an upland. We can find these things in our forests everywhere in the wintertime.
Chell Anderson regularly fills us in on current events in the woods. Thanks for talking to us about bark life.
You're welcome.